Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we bring you a program of Bible truth brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ with a sincere desire for you and your entire family that you may come to know more about God's divine truth. In this current series that we've entitled, Look at the Word of God, we've been dealing with a number of outstanding passages, like the one we had last time was where Peter and John said to the Sanhedrin, "We can but speak the things that we've seen and heard." And we looked at some of those things that they had seen and some of those things they had heard. And we found this in Acts, the 4th chapter, in verse 20. Now, I want to give you a teaching today on the broadcast that I think is overwhelming in its meaning. From John, the 11th chapter, in verse 26, Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And let's do her answer in the verse 27. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." One of the marvelous teachings during the lifetime of Jesus that we want to talk about as we take another look at the Word of God. I'm aware of the fact that when Jesus made this statement here, it might seem at first that there's a conflict here. For in Hebrews 9:27, the Bible plainly teaches the offering of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul is appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. But Jesus says in the 26th verse, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Now, there is really no conflict when we realize that all men do die a physical death. But the spirit that has been given to man will never die. From Ecclesiastes 12:7, tucked away in the Old Testament, we have the evidence there that the spirit goes back to God who gave it. You see, in the beginning, friends, in Genesis 2:7, that very thought-provoking passage that says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul," that man had a true spiritual part from the very beginning. His body was formed in the likeness of God, but there was no life in that body until God breathed into man's nostrils a part of himself, and man became a living soul. Now, you'll notice the wording here in verse 26, "Whosoever liveth," that's talking about this life, "and believeth in me." What does that imply? To believe in Jesus is far more than saying we believe that he's the Son of God. The devils have even announced that. I remember reading that account some time ago of how Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee and found the man who was possessed of the demons. He was referred to as Legion. The demon spoke to Jesus, not the man. And you remember they said, "We know who you are. Have you come to torment us before our time?" They knew that Christ was the Son of God. And some people think, and it's probably true, that these demons at one time had been in heaven, but were cast out with Lucifer, were cast out by the devil who had made a rebellion in heaven. Well, anyway, they knew who Jesus was. Now, the point that we simply want to bring out is that if we believe in him, it is more than our announcement with our mouth. The word belief implies complete obedience to his will. We've told you in past broadcasts that there are three component parts to a living faith. There must be belief, but you see, friends, not all belief, just as we see it, is a complete Bible faith. There must also be a trust or a love in a very definite way for God and for Jesus Christ. And then there must be obedience to his will. You'll find that definition standing up very conclusively. So when he says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me," it will imply one who believes his word and who is willing to obey it. And after all, that's the way we become a child of God. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, as we have in Hebrews 5:8-9. So the point is that he's talking about people who are living and people, may we say, on this side of the cross who are born again, who are following him. He says they shall never die. Now, he indicates here that the Spirit goes back to God who gave it. And it has been said in a true fashion that if an individual is never born again, then it's highly probable the God of heaven being the judge will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, both God and Christ to be associated with that judgment, but we'll have to die a physical death. And then if we're not righteous in this life, we'll have to die a second death. The second death is spoken of as the entrance into the lake of fire, the baptism of fire, as recorded in Revelation, the 20th chapter. So a person can die twice. But one who becomes a Christian lives in this life. Then he dies a physical death, but he doesn't die spiritually. So he only needs to die once if he has been born twice. Born physically, then born again of the water and the Spirit, as the Bible teaches, and continues on faithful throughout life. The wonderful conversation that Jesus had with Martha was after the death of her brother. And I thought many times the great faith this woman had, faith in the past, faith in the present, and faith in the future. Listen to an excerpt now from this same 11th chapter of John. When Jesus came unto Martha, and she came unto him, it begins in verse 21 by her simply saying, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." That's the faith she has in the past. And then we understand that she said to Jesus, "But I know that even now," that's the present, "whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will grant it thee." That's her faith in the present. Then Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And then we see her faith in the future. Verse 24, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." What wonderful faith. That's when Jesus began by saying in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he shall die," or were dead, and that indicates a physical death, it says that he shall live, yet shall he live. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Do you believe this, Martha? I ask you on the broadcast today, do you believe this? Will you respond as Martha did? "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Well, it's an interesting thing to realize that that's the foundation for the entire Christian life. You see, if you really believe that today, then you will have truly turned from your sins because of that belief. You will have announced this with your mouth, for in Romans 10 and 10, Paul clearly said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then because of your full belief that God will do what he said he would do, you will be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that every sin might be taken away. You'll have faith that we find Naaman didn't first have back there in the Old Testament. He looked at the river Jordan from a physical standpoint that it was a dirty river. The rivers of Syria are more, we might say, outstanding. They're clean, they're pure, and that was physically true. But you see, his servant told him, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, may I paraphrase it, friends, you would have broken your neck to do it. Well, Naaman reconsidered, and he went down and he dipped 7 times in the River Jordan. Now, he was just as wet the first time. But you see how obedience entered into this? So if you want to live beyond your physical life here, and if you want to be in a position where death will not be able to separate you from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then do obey this gospel and live for him in this life. You know, your friendly neighbors that bring you this broadcast and talk to you each week on the air on the station really want to be your friends. We have a conviction that we are to plant and to water, that God will give the increase. And as we sound this gospel forth today, may we make it very clear that we have an interest in your soul. You know, a man said to me one time, he said, "You don't solicit funds on the air." And he said, "This indicates to me that you're not interested in people's money." Well, I said, we're interested much more than their money. We're interested as God is in their soul. It's true that the program is sponsored financially by brethren. But you see, the point that we have in mind is something worth more than the dollars you have in your pocket, the money you have in the bank, the investment you have in life. We're interested in your soul. Because we know, as I'm sure many of you know as you listen today, that what has a man profited? If he gain the whole world and lose his soul, what could he give in exchange for his soul? We also realize, according to Galatians chapter 6, that we're actually going to reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. So here's a great theme of Christianity. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. May I ask you again on the broadcast, as Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? I trust your response will be as hers was. Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Son of God that should come into the world. You know, I've talked to people all over the country, and many of them want to relate how they came to know the Lord. One of the overwhelming influences for good that's found in the Bible is a life that is filled with turbulence, distress, and dismay. It's a life, actually, that can be pure and holy and devoted to the Lord. One man said his life was like a stormy sea. And he said, one time I heard someone say, well, Jesus was the one that calmed the sea. He was the one that was able to say, peace be still. Might I say to you that Jesus not alone can say that to the waves that are tossed by the wind on a rough sea, but he can say that to a heart, to a mind that may at the present time be weighed down with sin. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Will you not obey that gospel today? Again, we tell you the Bible says to hear the word, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ, that you believe he's the Son of God, and to follow that with baptism. Look at the accounts of conversion in Acts to verify this teaching. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. It's been good to come to your family circle. Jesus was talking about life here with Martha. We have been talking about life, not just life here, but life eternal. If we can help you, let us know. Tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast. Go to the service of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. And be with us next time as we talk once again about a look at the Word of God.